Customs and Border Protection has been called a corrupt, narcissistic, paramilitary security force. Wow. The man leveling these charges is the former head of internal affairs. James Tomczyk was recently transferred after saying the agency has been untruthful about circumstances involving fatal shootings by Border Patrol agents. Now, Lynn Bernabe is a civil rights attorney with the law firm Bernabe & Wachell, a regular guest with us here on the Federal Drive. She joins us now to discuss this case of a high-level whistleblower. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so whistleblowers, tell me if I'm wrong, but tend to be people down in the trenches. But what happens when someone who is a very high level, especially internal affairs, that sees all the laundry, what happens there when the whistle gets blown to this level?
Well, Mr. Tomczyk was very high level, as you said. He's a 30-year SES employee. And, you know, the procedures are the same, but I think people take a little bit more note when someone has been with the agency that long and has a position where he's responsible for investigating corruption in the agency. So this has gotten a lot of attention.
Now, the Center for Investigative Reporting did a long piece on this, and it's a little bit one-sided. But reading this, does it look as if there's really some there to these charges?
Well, it definitely looks like there's a culture problem. I mean, what he reported was that there's been, I think, over 24 deaths over the last couple of years, and that the agency keeps saying that those are all justified, and even when the circumstances don't seem to bear that out. He's also said that there's widespread corruption, which I think has been corroborated by other means. For example, there's gang-related people working for the agency. There's drugs. There's corruption, you know, bribes, things of that nature. So I think, you know, everybody knows there's a culture that needs to be changed, and I think his allegations came amidst that sort of general public perception that this is an agency with troubles.
So his coming out with this kind of information or these charges sounds, I mean, I guess we can conclude that he might have raised them internally, but nobody was listening.
Well, in fact, that's what he says. He said, and I believe his deputy said that what's happened, and some people that have left the agency, that they're raised internally, but he can't go outside the agency. So they're raised internally, and then management covers up the particular reports he's made. I think it's been known for quite a few years that they have a problem. I mean, people on the outside have criticized, and not just the agency, but him himself for not doing enough. And when he's come out, he said, I couldn't do any more because I was reporting internally. Now, you know, how to sort that out, who's at fault, you know, I think is going to have to be left to another agency or Congress. But I think the fact is that this is a big problem.
So this is a little different, though, in terms of where the level it's coming from than, say, the VA allegations and revelations that have been rocking that agency for a couple of months. Those came from like nurses and people like that.
Right, sort of line employees. This does come from someone who was charged with investigating these complaints and seeing if they were valid. And he says, at least in what he said publicly, is that these complaints are valid. There's corruption. There were deaths that couldn't be justified. And there's a real problem culture over there.
And for the people at the lower levels that tend to blow the whistles, they can get fired or transferred out, or you know, the retaliation for them is different. In this case, he was reassigned from the Assistant Commissioner for Internal Affairs, and he now has a job as something like Director of National Programs or Executive Director of National Programs. Again, we don't know exactly what that means, but how does it look to you, seeing these cases over these many years? Is that kind of the same as giving them an empty desk somewhere with a nice title, or does it look like maybe they really are trying not to retaliate but get them out of internal affairs?
Well, what they've done is, and they do this in many whistleblower cases, high level, low level, what they do is they don't want these cases to go to the Merit Systems Protection Board because there's more public scrutiny. So what they've done is give him no remedy at the MSPB because it's not a type of personnel action that can be brought before the MSPB, but he does have a route in alleging retaliation before the Office of Special Counsel. And so I think what they're trying to do is keep it bottled up in the Office of Special Counsel, which, you know, as you probably know, investigates a small percentage of cases, and it takes a while. And so I think what they're banking on is that, you know, somehow public scrutiny will pass, and people will forget about this.
We're speaking with Lynn Bernabe. She's a civil rights attorney with the law firm Bernabe and Wachtell. And so in your experience with high-level and low-level whistleblowers, which cases tend to have the better records of outcome in terms of the whistleblower themselves?
It all depends. It's sort of an interesting process. It all depends how much public attention, if Congress gets involved, if the administration has to acknowledge fault or that there's a problem. I mean, it's really, in some senses, it's rather arbitrary because there's very extreme injustices that go unheeded and nothing really happens. And then there's others that thankfully get picked up by Congress or get picked up by the press and actually go someplace like the VA hospital. So you never know at the beginning of a case what's going to happen. I think this is one case where there's a big enough problems and enough deaths and enough public scrutiny that, you know, hopefully somebody will look into what happened here and who's at fault.
I mean, when you think about Congress, of course, they're not around right now, but that
right.
doesn't stop them from making statements. But if you look at their imbroglio with the IRS, which is still simmering, there's also the Fast and Furious. There was a court case just the other day that brings that one back up to the top of the surface. There's the whole State Department and Benghazi. I think they're probably still dealing with that a little bit. There's Veterans Affairs. Maybe they've solved it, but there's still people to deal with. There's, as we just mentioned a moment ago, the sexual assault cases in the military, again, partially resolved. The Navy just got rid of 34 people for cheating in the nuclear reactor program. There seems to be a lot of things that could engage Congress. So could this maybe get lost in the fatigue factor that seems to be setting in the summertime?
Oh, definitely. And I think the other issue is that Congress is so partisan now that all of these sort of scandals, if you can call them that, some of them may not be scandals, but a lot of these sort of issues with the administration and how the agencies are being run turn into sort of political dogfights, which is unfortunate because a lot of these agencies have issues that should be dealt with in a substantive way without partisanship. And so I think what happens is sometimes issues get, you know, someone in Congress gets interested and gets their teeth in, and the substance becomes lost. And so one would hope that an agency like Customs and Border Patrol, which has serious problems, there's deaths, there's corruption. I mean, I think anybody from the outside would say this is a problem agency. We would hope that that could be dealt with in a nonpartisan way.
And, of course, you know, there's something for both sides to love and hate, which can make it maybe better for a congressional outcome, because if people are in favor of some of the immigration reform, for example, and you have the Border Patrol shooting Mexicans unjustifiably, for example, that are coming, again, I'm not taking sides here, but that
right.
could be one point of view. On the other hand, you have a large unionized workforce, which, you know, tends to mitigate in favor of being looked at well by the Democratic side. I'm trying not to wade into the partisanship here, just trying to set out the positions. So maybe it looks like the elements here would be, since there's something for everyone to hate, it could be that maybe Congress could come together around this agency.
It's possible. I think what happens, unfortunately, and I think it's at least from press reports it's happened here, is because the people that are being criticized for corruption and possible use of excessive force are union members, that the union has sort of closed ranks around them. So I'm not so sure the union is going to be a factor because they can't be seen to really criticize their own members. But in terms of partisanship, one would hope that somehow, you know, in a country that was born of immigrants, that somehow political figures could find their way together to solve this problem.
Now, the Office of Special Counsel has a pretty big workload these days, too. Again, in your experience, if something is this visible, does it have a good chance of maybe going to the head of the line for the OSC?
Well, That has been sort of the experience. The problem is there's so many cases right now at the head of the line that you don't know. I mean, I think the figures are that the office can only investigate around 17% given their limitation on resources. And given that, you know, right now there's a lot of sort of hot spots in the federal government, and you know, one would hope that they would have resources and be able to investigate this, and you know, because I think they're uniquely qualified to do that. Whether they'll have the resources and ability to do that remains to be seen.
And what about the Justice Department? Because I mean, can you see them having a play here also?
Traditionally, that hasn't happened with these kind of enforcement agencies. I think it's more likely to happen if Congress gets involved. But, you know, Justice has not been really proactive in terms of looking at these agencies and really finding out what's happened. So one would hope that would happen. I don't know, given everything else that's going on right now, if they will. Their history of this has not been good.
All right. Well, we'll have to watch this one, and I guess it's a kind of a long, hot summer. Lynn Burnaby is a civil rights attorney with the law firm Burnaby & Wachtell. As always, thanks for joining us.
Okay. It's been good to talk to you.